My title today of the sermon is Faith, Trust, and God's Will. See, because they all tie together. And it took, you know, we as the longer we serve God, the more we walk with God, the more mature we become spiritually, and the more we learn about the Word of God. And I didn't always know that faith and trust and God's will all tied together until God showed it to me. Praise God. Hebrews 11 and 1 tells us what faith is. It says, now faith is confidence in what we hope. Faith is confidence in what we hope for. And assurance about what we do not see. Let that just kind of sink in a minute, all right? Faith is the confidence in what we hope for. And one thing that just really made it clear to me is like, okay, Jesus, we're here today and we have accepted Jesus as our Savior. Amen? How did we find out about Jesus? We didn't dream him up. We found out about Jesus through the Word of God. This right here. The Holy Word of God. That's how we found out about Jesus. And the Holy Spirit convicted us of sin, and we repented of our sin, and we accepted Jesus as our Savior. But see, we haven't seen him yet, have we? We hope for eternal life. We know that in Jesus, he is the way, the truth, and the life, and that an eternal life is waiting for us. That's why that I didn't, when my mother passed away a little over a year ago, I didn't fall to pieces. Yeah, I miss her. I'd love to go back to her house and walk over to the chair she's sitting in and kiss her on the cheek. Say, Mama, what are you doing? Mama loved to watch the old Westerns. She owned them, too. She said, I'm watching my Westerns. She didn't say I was watching these Westerns. She said, son, I'm watching my Westerns. And I'd love to go over there and hug her neck. And I'd love to go over there and kiss her on the cheek one more time. And I'd love to sit down and hear her tell me this. Son, my neck hurts. Son, my head hurts. My knee hurts. But I ain't worried about that, son, because when Jesus calls me, I'm ready to go. See, we have that hope and assurance that Jesus, when he calls us home, we have eternal life. That's where our faith is at. See, it says the evidence of things not seen. That's what the King James Version says it. The evidence of things not seen. We believe that Jesus is who the Bible says he is. And because we believe that, we're hoping for eternal life. We haven't seen it yet, have we? We haven't received it yet, have we? But we're going to. And that's what faith is all about. It's believing what the Word of God says. It's real, you know, sometimes it just seems like, I don't know. I just don't understand this about the Word of God. And sometimes it's like, well, the Word of God seems complicated. No, it's not complicated. See, it's written down right here. And our faith is on this right here. What does the Word of God say about every and any situation? Faith is based on the Word of God. We can't have faith and apply it to our own will. Uh-huh. I got you some there, a little bit there, didn't I? See, sometimes we want to take faith and apply it to what we want. Because we're human, Paul. What did Paul say? He said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Amen? And there's so many times, see, that we live in this world, and we operate in the flesh. And we want to take the Word of God, and we want to take faith, and we want to apply it to what we want. I got news for you. God is not a genie in a bottle that we can rub on the side. How many wishes may I grant you today? God is not a genie in a bottle. We can't take faith and apply it to our word. We have to take faith and apply it to God's word. What does God's word say? Let me ask you something to kind of make my point a little better. How many of you, I'm going to expect some honesty here, how many of you ever prayed, God, if you'll just give me 6 numbers, you know where I'm going? If you'll just give me 6 numbers and I win this lottery, Lord, I'm going to give the church, you know, $2 million. And boy, I'm going to give Pastor Avery $3 million and say amen, Pastor. And I'm going to do this. And Lord, and I'm just going to help everybody. You ever pray that prayer? Oh, I'm glad somebody said yes, because I didn't want to be the only one. if y'all would have said no, I'd have told Pastor, next week, preach on the sin of lying. Amen. See, we want to take faith sometime and we want to apply it to what we want. I got news for you. God's not going to give you six numbers. It's not in His Word. His Word does not say, thou shalt have six numbers to win the lottery. It's not there. Search it. Read it. Read it from cover to cover. You will not find it. We can't take the Word of God and apply it to the things that we want. Our desires. What James called the lust of the flesh. Can't do it. We have to take faith and apply it to what the Word of God says. You know, you can't preach a faith message without bringing up Abraham. You just can't do it. God spoke to Abraham and said, go. I want you to go to a land. And He didn't give him a map. No GPS back then. He just said, go. Go in that direction right there. And God just kept telling Abraham where to go. And Abraham believed what God told him. And because he believed, see, that's faith, right? Because he believed what God told him, it was counted unto him for righteousness. Because he believed God. It's really that simple. God said it. Abraham said, okay, I believe it. God went further. Abraham's wife was named Sarah. They didn't handle kids. She was barren. He couldn't have kids. And yet God spoke to Abraham and said, I'm going to make you a father of many nations. Your descendants are going to be so great. They're going to be like the sands on the beach, on the sea. You can't count them. They're going to be so great. This is to a man who ain't got no kids. This is to a man whose wife cannot have kids. Matter of fact, when Sarah overheard that conversation, she laughed. Why? Well, there's a couple of reasons she laughed. One, Abraham was an old man. She was barren. But you know what? She came to believe. God promised a son from Abraham and Sarah. Now, see, there's too many times where we are too impatient to wait on God. So we decide to help God. And when that happens, it's always a mess. See, Sarah decided at one point, I'm gonna help God on this. Like God needs our help, right? Yeah. Anyway, so she decided to take her handmaiden, Hagar, and says, you know, I'll give you to Abraham, and we'll have a son that way. And sure enough, Abraham had a son named Ishmael. Yeah. Abraham had a son named Ishmael. Not with Sarah. Wasn't God's will that he have a son with Hagar. And now the descendants of Ishmael is Israel's enemies. See, that's what happens when you try to help God. See, God's word is true. Abraham continued to believe God. Now, the Bible doesn't say what I'm about to say next, but I just see it, okay? Because Abraham believed God, okay? Abraham believed God. He never quit believing that he's going to have a son with Sarah. And I can just see him talking to his servants, talking to his nephew Lot. God's going to give me a son. You know, nearly 25 years went by before Isaac was born. And I can see him all that time. God's going to give me a son. Hey, come here, I got to tell you something. Spoke to God, man. He spoke to me, Stephen. He told me I'm going to have a son with Sarah. And I can just see him going all around speaking that for nearly 25 years. And maybe some of his servants said, boy, the old man's got a screw loose. You know. Now, again, the Bible don't say that. I'm just kind of interjecting some fun here. Things that I feel like might have happened. Who knows? But God is true to his word. Guess what? Now, Abraham was, I think, 99. Was that right, Pastor, when Isaac was born? That's about as close to 100 you can get without getting there, isn't it? And him and Sarah had a son named Isaac, the son of the promise that God made to Abraham. See, Abraham put his faith in what God told him, not what the circumstances that were there. The circumstances, Abraham was too old to have a son. The circumstances, Sarah was barren and couldn't bear children. But Abraham didn't put his faith in the circumstances. He put his faith in what God said. Amen? So that's where you apply your faith to. Apply it to what this Bible says. Don't apply it to your own thoughts. Don't apply the faith to what you really want. I remember years ago there was this movement, and some of you may remember it. It was called Name It and Claim It. And I remember my old brother-in-law, David King, boy, he said, buddy, that's the craziest thing I ever heard of. He said, people are naming, claiming all this stuff and calling these cars Cadillacs when they're just Chevrolets. He said, you know, you can call that car Cadillac all you want, but it's a Chevrolet. And he was right. See, because again, if you read this word of God, there's nothing in there that says, I, the Lord thy God, shall give you a new Cadillac. It just ain't there. Now, if you can afford a new Cadillac, go buy you one. I don't care. I don't care either. But don't apply faith to what you want. Apply it to what God says. Because God's word, get this, God's word cannot lie. You ever think about that? Everyone here, including myself, has the ability to lie, don't we? Have the ability to lie. Now, it's pretty stupid. You know, I'm going to tell you something. When I was a kid, boy, I lied a lot. Because, you know, when I was in trouble, my dad's belt came off. Wow. Or went down by the barn and I came into trouble. There was this little, he called it a quirt. It was like a big bull whip, but it really wasn't. It wasn't about that long. But boy, when he grabbed that thing off that post and lit me up. So I lied all the time just trying to stay out of trouble. Matter of fact, I got to tell you a little funny story here. He whipped me with that thing and it hurt. The next day when I came home from school and he was at work, I went down there and I went to the feed part of the barn and I got this machete we had and I chopped that thing up into pieces about that big. We lived on 10 acres and it was almost a quarter mile deep and I went to the very back part of that 10 acres and I dug me a hole and I threw them pieces in it and I covered it up. And my daddy asked me, son, have you seen that quirt? I lied again. No, sir, daddy, I have not seen that quirt. But see, as I grew up and if I became a man, especially as I became a man of God, I don't lie. But I can. God cannot. God is so holy. The Bible tells, Isaiah tells us that there's three winged creatures that just, they do nothing but fly around the throne of God. They've got six wings. They got two to fly with, two to cover their eyes, two to cover their feet. And all they do is fly around the throne of God and say, holy, holy, holy. That's how holy God is. He cannot lie. If it's in here, it's truth. And you can put your faith in what the Word of God says. Amen. If you continue to read the entire chapter of Hebrews 11, and I encourage you to do so, you will keep seeing this word over and over. By faith, amen. She got it. By faith. By faith, Enoch was taken away. You ever read that about Enoch? He didn't see death. He didn't taste death. He was so righteous. God just said, here, come on, come up here with me. By faith, Abraham went to a land where God showed him, just go. By faith, Noah built an ark because God told him. See, when God tells you something, it's his word, isn't it? God said, I'm going to wipe away this sinful mess. And I'm going to bring a flood upon the earth. What the thing was back then, if you read your Bible good, it tells you that the earth was watered from a mist that came from the ground. So there wasn't no rain until that flood. But you know what? By faith, Noah built an ark. Saved him and his family. And it just goes on and on. By faith, this person did this. By faith, that person did that. By faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. And it just keeps going on and telling you, by faith, this happened. I'm going to tell you something. I don't know if y'all noticed it or not. I sure have. Heard a few times I had to come up here and bring me a stool to sit on and preach. Because I was so weak from dialysis and other things. You don't see a stool up here, do you? By faith, I'm going to preach the word of God standing up. By faith, I'm going to walk here one day and say, I am healed by faith. Not by what I say, not by what I conjured up in my mind, but what the word of God says. Amen? Now, verse 13 tells us something that is pretty deep. It says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them. See, Abraham, God told him he's going to give him a son. He seen that, didn't he? He received it. You know, if you're believing something and it lines up with God's word, you believe it, and it comes to pass, then there's no more faith involved in it because you have received it. But see, what, you know what Abraham didn't see? He didn't see Israel become a great nation. God promised it, but he went. You know, he died. He didn't see it. But that don't mean God says, uh-oh, promise is off. No, the promise is still there. The faith that Abraham seen, he said he's seen it from afar off. Now, I'm going to tell you what really made me understand that scripture. Brother Arliss Avery, him and I and Pastor Malin, we went to the hospital to see Johnny Merkert, and he was in bad shape. And his wife was just worried and worried. We went up there to pray for them. And Brother Arliss told her, said, can you see him being healed? He said, and we're walking down the hall. He said, you see the end of that hall? We're not there yet, but we're going to get there. He said, that's the way it is with Johnny's healing. Can you see him being healed? Because he's going to get there. And God did heal him on that particular time. Amen? Thank you for that, Brother Arliss. See, they seen it. Abraham seen it from afar off. He didn't see it in the flesh. But when God makes a promise and you apply your faith to what God's word says, it's on. If you pass away, so what? God's promises don't pass away. Praise God. Man, that just still just blows my mind, kind of, if you will, like the young people used to say. Second part of this sermon is trust. See, we have faith, but faith is no good without trust. Now some of you are saying, uh-oh, buddy's done went off the deep end. James said that faith without works is dead. Now I want to ask you something. Is there anything that's dead that's useful? No. If your car dies, is it useful? Can you get in it and drive off if it's dead? It's useless. I used to have a horse. You know, I grew up on a little farm, and I rode horses every day. And had a horse. One day he laid down and died. I don't know why. He just died. I couldn't go out there and saddle up that horse and ride him. He was dead. He's useless. Faith without works is dead. What's he talking about? He's talking about making a commitment to God's word and putting it in word, in action. See, it's not enough to just sit here and say, well, I got faith. Praise God, I got faith. Well, where's your works? James says, show me your works by, I've got it all mixed up. I kind of sound like President Biden right now. I didn't mean to bring up politics. There's no place for politics in here, I'm sorry. But it was funny. Anyway, James says, I'll show you my works by my faith, all right? Got to put our faith to work. What does it mean to put our faith to work? It means to live for him, to commit to him, to do what this word says. That's what it means. So you have to understand that faith without works is dead, useless in other words, so you have to put trust in there with it, right? You have to not only have faith in what God's word says, you have to trust what God's word says. What is trust? Well, I can give you the dictionary definition of trust is firm belief in the reliability, truth, ability, or strength of someone or something. All right? What's our firm belief in? It's in the word of God. It's in God. It's in Jesus. Amen? That's where our firm belief in. That is what trust is. So by faith, we believed God and trust him to stand by his word. See, not only, I don't only believe God, that's the faith part of it, but I trust him to do what his word says. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Praise God. See, that's where we get into trouble sometimes. Instead of trusting God, we lean to our own understanding. Now, don't get me wrong. It's easy to lean on to your own understanding. I don't understand. I got this going on in my life. I've got this health problem going on in my life. I don't understand it. I got this financial difficulty going on in my life, Stephen, and I just don't understand it. Harold, I'm having problems with Bonnie. Boy, I hope she ain't watching. And I just don't understand her. Oh, I'm in trouble. But God says, trust not in your own understanding. Trust in His understanding. What does God say about the situation? Not what does Buddy say about the situation. Not what Harold says about the situation. What does God say about the situation? That's where you put your trust at. Boy, this is a beautiful scripture. I've read the Bible from front to back more than once, and I have never seen this scripture. That's what happens sometimes. We just read and read and read. But then God starts revealing stuff to us, right? Especially when you start studying for a sermon. Harold, is that right, brother? Pastor, is that right? Yeah. He starts showing us things. Psalms 112:7 says, it starts out by saying he's talking about the child of God, is not afraid, now get this, of bad news. Uh-oh. I want to read that again. That's worthwhile, isn't it? He is not afraid of bad news. His heart is firm, trusting in the Lord. See, we all get bad news, don't we? Come on, let's just be honest. You go to the doctor and he tells you, you know, Larry testified last week about a brain tumor. Boy, that sounds pretty scary, don't it? Okay, so you get this news from the doctor, you got a brain tumor. All right, what are you going to do? You going to get afraid? Yeah, afraid will heal you, right? Being afraid will heal you? No. Being afraid won't do nothing for the brain tumor. Larry, I'm with you. I got one right about here. I ain't afraid of it either. See? The believer in God, the child of God that's living by His word and living by faith, learns to trust Him. And it says bad news will not make us afraid. We're not afraid of it. You know what? When it comes, praise God. Let God have it. You can't do anything about it anyway. See, people get so involved with bad news, and they sit around and they worry about it, and they try to figure out, what am I going to do about it? And they worry themselves crazy, and they just go on, and they go into depression and all these different things that they go into when they can't do nothing about it anyway. Just stop and trust God and don't be afraid. You know, how are you going to be a child of God if you don't trust Him? You know, Pastor and I were talking a little bit before the church started, and we talked a little bit about trust, and he brought up, and I think he brought it up last week in his sermon even, how that when we were kids, we trusted our dad. You know, when I was a kid, I never wondered, because supper time was whatever time, I don't know, 6 o'clock, I guess, I don't remember. At my house, supper time was whenever, but back then, I think it was like 6 o'clock. And we knew to be at the table. And I never did talk to my sisters and say, hey, I wonder if we're going to have any food on the table today. We just went to the table. We knew there was going to be food on that table. We never worried about, when I hit this light switch, is electric going to come on? We didn't worry about nothing. You know why? Because my dad worked and made sure we had what we needed. We trusted in my dad. My dad said, I'll take care of you, son. I'll make you a man. Oh, my dad made me a man. He taught me how not only to be a man, he taught me how to work. He taught me how to trust God. He taught me how to be a man of God. And sometimes it took a belt to teach me, all right? But he taught me. Praise God for my dad. So don't get afraid. Don't get up and testify about being afraid. Instead of being afraid, just give it to God. God, there's nothing I can do about it. I'm going to give it to you, and I'm going to trust you. And because see, when you truly give something to God and then you trust Him, there's peace. Oh, and there's nothing better than God's peace, is it? Amen? Praise God. Psalms 118:8. Oh, by the way, I forgot to tell you. We're going to be here a while. Did you bring a lunch? I've got about 10 pages of notes. But the good news is I write really, really big. All right. Psalms 118:8 says, it is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in men. Yeah, think about it. You know, I had a really good job. I mean, I had a good job. It had great benefits. The pay, my salary, was more than I ever dreamed as a young man that I could ever make. I mean, I was blessed, man. But see, I learned not to put my trust in that job. You have to put your trust in God. Now, God gave me the job. See, I went on bended knees way back when I was in construction and starving to death and asked God to give me something else so I can take care of my family, and He did. Now, I nearly didn't take the job. And I was praying to God, I don't want this kind of job. I didn't know what I asked you for. Well, actually, I just asked him for a job, see? So I lied to myself and God. God spoke back, said, you asked me for a way, there's your way. Walk through the door or close it, it's up to you. I walked through the door, made a fantastic living doing what I was doing. Thank God for that. And then, with my health problems, I was forced to retire. I didn't want to retire. I like working. I know your boy buddy's crazy. He likes working? Yeah, I did. And I liked that paycheck that I got every 2 weeks. And you know what? I don't have that big paycheck I used to get. I have that little old bitty Social Security check. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Some of you here know what I'm talking about. Some of you here don't know yet. Surprise. But you know what? My trust is in God. And you know what? My wife and I don't want for nothing. Praise God. God is our provider. Our trust is not in the job. Our trust is not in the great salary I had. Our trust is in God, and we ain't wanting for nothing. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Jeremiah. Well, I'm going to keep reading scriptures to you, okay? Jeremiah 17 and 7 says, blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord. Oh, man, do you like to be blessed? Come, of course you do. Everybody wants to be blessed. Jeremiah says, blessed is the man or woman who trusts in God. Oh, I'm blessed. I'll just tell you right now. If you believe, in other words, if you have faith in God's word, then you can trust him to fulfill his word. Amen? There is no fear in trust. See, he brought that out earlier. When you trust in God, you don't fear bad news. There is no fear. If you have trust, fear cannot come where trust is. Just can't do it. And then trust produces perfect peace. Amen? Oh, man, this is good stuff. Not because I'm preaching it, although it is pretty good. Because God gave this to me, okay? I'll just tell you straight up in all honesty. God didn't bless me with, to be extremely smart. Didn't bless me to be rich. He did bless me to be good looking, though. I mean, we all have something. Thank you, brother. But what he did bless me with, for real, all jokes aside, is the word of God. He called me to preach it. And everything that I'm telling you today don't come from Buddy, because Buddy ain't that smart. But it comes from God, the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen? All right, the last part of this sermon today is God's will. I told you they all tie together. Amen? All right, what is God's will? Doing God's will, now listen to this because it's so good, requires a deliberate choice. Did you hear that? Doing God's will requires you to make a deliberate choice. What is God's will? I'll show you again. This is God's will. See, we go around sometimes like, what is God's will? What is God? Open up your Bible. You know, we're asking ourselves, or sometimes we ask the pastor, what is God's will? Open your Bible. Read it, because this is God's will. Let me read Ephesians 5, 15 through 20. It says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Let me tell you what the Lord's will is, and I'm just going to tell you part of it, because we ain't got time to go through all of it, okay? God's will is doing what the Word of God tells us to do. When I was in Sunday school, you know, I grew up in church, and I remember being, I don't know, 7, 6, who knows. We had Sunday school set up, and it was, I'm trying to remember how it went up. We had a beginner Sunday school class, which was for little kids. We had a junior Sunday school class, I think, and then a teenage Sunday school class. And we learned the Word of God in the Sunday school class as kids. And I'll promise you, there was a time when I was a kid, I could tell you all 10 commandments. Bam, 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 bam. Is anybody here that can quote all 10 commandments? Anybody? Yeah, a little bit? How about all 10 of them straight in a row? Yeah, I can't either. I'm putting my hand down. But I can write them down. See, the Ten Commandments, that's God's will. Let me just remind you what they are. You shall have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make any graven image before you. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Honor your father and mother. Oh, some of these, where's my young people at today? Boy, they need to hear this. Thou shalt not murder. Ooh. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. You ever stole anything? No, I don't even want to know about it. Thou shalt not bear false witness. That means you shouldn't lie. And thou shalt not covet what somebody else has. Now, that's God's will. Now, that ain't all of God's will. Everything that's in his word is God's will. God said in his word that when you see someone in need, and if you just go over and pat them on the back, brother, I'm sure feel bad for you and I'm praying for you. No, God's word says you fulfill that need. If he needs food, you feed him. Amen? If you need clothes, you give it to him. That's God's will. God's will is that we live a life so that the outside world can see there's something different about those people. They don't cuss. They don't use God's name in vain. They don't steal. They don't lie. They talk about the blessings of the Lord. That's God's will, that we live that kind of life so people can see Jesus in us. Every command that's in this word of God, every statute that's in this word of God, everything that the apostles wrote letters about and preached about, that is God's will. Praise God. That is God's will. Now see, the thing about God's will is we all have a will too, right? See, when you look at God's creation, mankind is the only part of God's creation that he gave a will. Animals act off of instinct. They don't have a will. If they had a will, they wouldn't let us, cows wouldn't let us kill them and make steaks out of them, right? How about bacon? Boy, I like bacon. But we have a will. We have a will. And if we're not careful, see, our will is just what we want, all right? So if we're not careful, we'll let our will override God's will. That's where we get in trouble. Anytime that we let our will override God's will, we're in trouble. We have to become like Jesus. We have to pray like Jesus. You know, when the disciples said, how should we pray? And he told them what we call the Lord's Prayer, right? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, the kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. See, that's where we miss the boat sometimes. We need God's will as it is in heaven, right here on earth. We can have God's will here. All we got to do is accept it and live in it. Put ourselves aside, put our will aside, and pray like Jesus did when he's in the Garden of Gethsemane, right before he was going to be crucified. Right before he knew that the next day, I'm going to be brought up for trial. They're going to beat me. They're going to tear the flesh off my back. They're going to pluck out my whiskers. They're going to put a crown of thorns on my head. They're going to pierce my side with a spear. They're going to nail me to a cross. And he was praying. He said, Father, if there's any other way, can we do it? If there's any other way, can we just do that so I don't have to go through this? But then he ended as he continued to pray. He said, not my will, Father, but thy will be done. Aren't you glad that Jesus did the will of the Father? Let me tell you something. When I pray daily, and we should all pray daily, many times a day actually, I thank Jesus for accepting the Father's will, because see, without Jesus, we're lost. Without Jesus, we don't have eternal life. So I thank God today that Jesus accepted the will of the Father and prayed, not my will, but thy will be done, God. Your will is done in my life. And because of that, we have eternal life. 1 John 5 and 14 says, now this is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything, now get that word anything, okay? Let it soak down, get down in your spirit. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us And if we know that he hears us, then we know that we'll receive it. Amen? But see, the key to that is anything in his will. All right, again, how do I pray in God's will? Pick this up and read it. Listen to the sermons. You know, sometimes, I remember this as a young man. Have you ever had trouble staying asleep, staying awake in church? Come on, be honest. When I was a young man, I'd nod off. I'll just be honest with you. My Uncle Hubert, boy, he was really something. He'd nod off, and man, Margie would do this. Punch him like that, and he'd, and it was really funny. When I was a kid, I used to laugh all day. I used to watch Uncle Hubert because I knew he was going to fall asleep. And I knew Aunt Margie was going to elbow him, and he was going to jump. And say, It was funny to me as a kid. Listen to the word of God when the preacher preaches the word of God. I'm going to tell you something. You have great pastors here. Pastor Mylon Avery, our lead pastor. Pastor Arliss Avery. Pastor Harold Kane and myself. Pastor Joseph Avery. We are men of God. We preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. We don't preach name it, claim it. We don't preach our will over God's will. We preach the word of God. When we stand up to preach, listen, because it's the word of God. When you get home, you can do what the Bereans did. Paul said the Bereans, when he preached to them, they went home, opened up the word of God, and checked him out to see if what he said was true. That's fine. If you think I said something wrong, go to the word of God and check me out. But we have to understand that it's God's will. Ties right into faith and trust. And if we take it, man, when we take it, we've got it. And we can live in peace. We can live in faith. We can live in trust. So faith, trust, and God's will all work together so that we can live, get this, a victorious life in Jesus. Amen? See, the Bible goes ahead and tells us, and I didn't put the scripture in there because I know what it says. The Bible goes ahead and tells us that without faith, it's impossible to please God. Amen? You're not going to please God without faith. You know why? Because without faith, you don't even know what the Word of God is. All right? I hope today you got as much out of this sermon as I did, because I'll tell you what, if you didn't, that's all right, because I got a lot out of it. I got what I needed, all right? I'm going to tell you straight up. All this sermon, this message today, it hit me, all right? I needed it, and I hope you got what you needed today. Well, I know you did, because the Word of God never falls short, never comes back void. Amen? Praise God, I love you. Jesus loves you. Faith, trust, do God's will. They all tie together. You'll live victorious if you can do that. Pastor Avery, thank you so much for allowing me to be in this pulpit today.